If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Michael, you've got a pretty interesting philosophy for why you save money. Tell me what you're doing.
So early on, my threshold for savings was about 10 grand. And if, anything above that, there was always something shiny or something that I'd have to go spend my money on. My savings would dwindle down. But if I had $10,000, I could buy a junky house. I could buy the house everything was broken on that, and then I could save up a little bit of money and I could get it painted, or I could fix the AC, or I could put a roof on, whatever needed to be done. I could pay a little bit at a time to get the house fixed up so I could turn it into a rental property. And then what I realized was every house that I bought, every reinvestment rental property I bought, it was kind of like getting a raise. So each time I bought a house, I was making a little bit more money each month. And so it kind of really reinforced, like, hey, this is how I make more money every month, is I go get a house. And, I couldn't buy a house every month, of course, but over time it's kind of built up. And now I have a pretty good income coming in for the rental properties I bought.
All because Michael made what I'm sure was a pretty difficult decision to not buy toys with his money. He had the money to invest in rental properties. And on the podcast today, we're going to talk about how Michael built his portfolio. We'll see what types of properties he's buying, what type of properties are performing best for him. We'll also talk about how Michael's been able to sell off some of his rental properties and use that money to buy even more rental properties. And we'll talk about a pretty difficult situation that Michael was in with one of his tenants. Joining us on the podcast today from Montgomery, Alabama, is Michael Atkins. We'll take a really quick break to thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Michael. When you're buying a rental property, you can't do everything on your own. It's really important to have a team of people to help you. And in my opinion, the most important person to have on your team is a really good lender. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. Chaley is a nationwide lender, and she's also an experienced investor herself, and she understands the needs of both brand new and experienced investors, and she can help you find the best loan for you in your situation. Right now, Chaley has a special limited time offer just for our listeners. If you mention that you heard this ad on the Rental Income Podcast, Chaley will credit you back $250 at the closing for your property. If you want to get more details, or you want to set up a time to talk to Chaley personally, or maybe have her look at a deal that you're looking at, you can reach out to Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.
Rental Income Podcast.
Michael, let's start off talking about your portfolio. What does your portfolio look like today?
Most of the portfolio's kind of little cheap houses that probably around 1,000, 1,100 square feet, two bedroom, one bath, three bedroom, one bath. And they rent from anywhere from 600 to 850 a month. I bought some trailers. So I have eight trailers. And I'm they're kind of a recent acquisition. I've owned them for about a year and still learning my way through that. And altogether, there's probably about 40 doors. I have one little commercial office building that is basically a duplex, but it's a commercial office space and it has two units in it. That pretty much is my portfolio.
And as far as how you've funded all the purchases, it sounds like when you have extra money from your job, you take that money and invest it in rentals. But are you also reinvesting the rental income that your portfolio generates, or are you spending that money?
Oh yeah. So I pretty much reinvest it all. Want to say I was listening to a podcast the other day with these two, real estate investors, and they're talking back and forth, and they're talking about the cars. Like one was saying, hey, I'd really like to have a Ferrari or a Porsche or just these sports cars. And they're talking all about it. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, man, I'd really like another rental house. Right, where you guys right, want a sports car. Right. So I pretty much take all the money. It's all going towards either purchasing houses or still apply to the same reasoning I had early on, is if I can buy the worst house and fix it up a little bit along the way, then I'm game to do that.
And it sounds like you're buying mainly single family houses. Do you have any duplexes or triplexes?
In one of some of my early investments were duplexes and a triplex. And I did really well with them. But one of the things I felt like that with small multifamily or just multifamily in general, you can have good tenants there. And the real value of rental properties is your tenants. And all it takes is one bad tenant to run off your good tenants. So, you know, you have somebody that's you got a couple great tenants, you have a vacancy, you vet the guy or vet the tenant the best you can, they move in, and then all of a sudden they're loud or they're violent or wild and crazy. And then the next thing you know, your good tenants are looking for some place to move. But, you know, a lot of times they're not calling you and saying, hey, this neighbor that you put in here is a bad tenant, a bad right. neighbor. They yeah. just let you know we're moving. So, right. Yeah. So I had a triplex. I loved the property. It was really my first rental property. And I had an old man. I mean, he seemed like he was 80 years old and he had been in there for 5 or 6 years. I had a nurse in the back. She was a great girl. Never heard a peep about anything. And one of my units was vacant. And, man, I felt like I went through 20 applications at the time. I just had a lot of people applying. I was showing a lot. And this one gentleman, he seemed good. And I put him in there. And within the first month, I had both my other tenants call me and say, hey, we're moving out. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on? What happened? And like, well, the neighbor shot a gun. And so called my new tenant that apparently shot the gun through the wall. Maybe somebody had come to visit, was knocking on the window. I don't really know. It really didn't matter to me because he had shot a firearm right. in the house. And I said, hey, man, you got to leave. It's like, you can't shoot guns in the house or at people or whatever. And he had a good story and I'm apologizing and all that. And I'm like, look, it really doesn't matter. You know, I hear you and I believe that you're not going to do it again, but you won't be doing it again at my house. So,
I mean, that's like a really good learning experience to get rid of that tenant. It seems like you handled that perfectly, because if you had not taken the side of the other tenants and just let them leave, that one tenant could have kind of ruined that whole building.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, basically, I had, probably a couple of tenants that most landlords dream of. And then I have the other tenant that landlords also dream of, but just in a nightmare form.
Yeah.
And yeah. I basically told him, like, look, you're either going to move or you're going to be evicted and still have to move. And you're going to carry that eviction on your record because you violated your lease by shooting a gun in the house. And like, I'll give you this month's rent and your deposit back and you can move, or I'm filing for eviction. Like, I'm calling an attorney and we're filing for eviction today. And like, I understand whatever story you have for me is probably logical and all that, but I just can't have this. And, he chose for me to give him his deposit and his rent back, and he moved out within like 10 days.
Okay. And, yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
I got my two good tenants and I vacancy had to fill.
Right. Now, it seems like you like the single families better than like a small multi-unit building. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I've had a couple multifamilies before. I've had an eightplex, had another duplex. There's some advantages to having the multifamily, like one roof, one insurance policy, one tax bill. But, there's always a parking situation that you got to figure out. And, a lot of times my multifamily units, they're smaller, or the rent's a little cheaper. And sometimes I can be frugal myself, but with cheap rent, I'm always trying to look at the tenant and seeing if they're looking to rent this house because it's the only thing they can afford, or because they're frugal like me and are trying to save money. So maybe if it's the only thing they can afford or the last option, then I probably don't want to rent to them because it's probably not going to work out in the future.
Have you sold any properties over the years?
Yes, I have. I think one thing that comes to mind is I had a duplex that it was a great property, but it just wasn't my favorite holding, I guess. And I sold it, and I did a 1031 exchange and into five single family homes. I had a fellow agent that I know, and he does property management. He had a tired landlord, and I was just asking him if he had any deals. He was telling me about this five-unit rental portfolio, and I think three of them were unoccupied and need to be renovated, and two of them are occupied. And, sold my duplex, and then 1031 the money in over to the five houses.
Yeah, I feel like that was a really smart move because you went from two income streams on the duplex to five income streams on the single family house. And did you have to put in any more money, or did you just roll the profit from the duplex to those five single families?
I think I had to put in a tad bit of money.
Okay.
Maybe like $5,000-$10,000 in the scheme of things, not a whole lot of money. But also, like, I needed to renovate three of those houses. I probably need to renovate all five, but if I have a happy paying tenant, I'm not going to move them out to renovate their house.
Right.
And it kind of surprised me. It wasn't long afterwards that the two occupied units had come into the property manager's office and asked if they could renew their lease. And I was like, well, shoot. Yeah.
Why not? Why not? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, it buys me another year of not having to work on their house.
Right. Right. So, and the other thing too, that I really think was smart about buying those five single families is now, when we see appreciation again in the market, now you've got five properties that are appreciating versus that duplex. So I feel like over time that's going to make you way more money.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. If I have five houses, well, I probably have about 60% more square footage that's going to appreciate.
Right.
Over the next few years.
Right. You mentioned that you have some properties in A-class neighborhoods. Is that something that you've moved up to, like, as you've bought more rental properties, you moved up to nicer properties, or did you start with nicer properties?
No. I started with probably the worst properties.
Okay.
But, you know, a little bit of this is over time. I've learned from my fellow investors. It's not something that came to me, naturally, but, I try to keep a personal financial statement. I've kind of built one in Excel, but, I use it as like a report card to remind me that all these things that I'm doing and all this effort and blood, sweat, and tears from being a landlord is worth it. And if my net worth goes up every month, then I'm doing a good thing. And so I've noticed that my net worth increases a lot more with just having leveraged properties. And so if it makes sense, I'm very selective with them. I feel like they've helped increase my net worth every month, and I'm doing, you know, what I should be doing. It's a good idea.
So are you seeing more appreciation on those A-class properties than on like maybe a C-class property?
Yeah. Well, what I could say is the last couple of years have been very weird, but, I would say that, a lot of times I'm not updating my values on my C-class rentals, more along the lines when I'm looking at my, PFS, I'm noticing that my debt is going down. So the properties are going to cash flow. They're going to pay the mortgage. Plus there's going to be some cash that goes to, you know, my operating account, but they're paying down the debt every month.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I've got several properties that are every month, I'm a few thousand dollars richer. It's not cash in my pocket, but, on the financial statement, I'm wealthier every month.
Right.
And so, it's one of those things where I'm looking at it and like, I'm not sure if I'll ever pay them off or, you know, in 10, 15, 20 years, maybe I'm selling a couple and paying off one here and there, or maybe I'm taking that lump sum of money and investing it somewhere else or, buying something that I want.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know.
You've got a very diverse portfolio with the A-class properties and the C-class properties and the commercial properties. You know, a lot of people say that with A-class properties, you're not going to make as much cash flow, but you've got an easier tenant to work with than maybe someone that's in a renting a C-class rental. As someone that owns both of them, would you say that's true? Are tenants in A-class properties easier to work with than the C-class tenants?
Generally speaking, yes. So it's rare that I'll speak in definite terms because, honestly, I've been humbled and surprised over the years, but, get a bad tenant anywhere, an A class, B or C class property. But on average and in general, you're probably going to have a better tenant and have less turnover, less repairs and maintenance. I generally kind of have a curve, a chart in my head, and the higher the price, the less turnover and less risk you have. Also the lower returns you're going to have. And then as you go down the chart to the cheaper properties, you're going to have a higher return, but you're going to have more turnover and, you know, more repairs. And so, you should make a bigger profit because you're taking more risk and you're you're dealing with more problems. But, you know, I think the thing is that over time, you don't have all the time in the world, because turnover and problems require time. And it's better to transition into things that probably have a lower return, but have require less of your time. So, and also it's a little bit easier to invest. So some of the, I guess I'm one of those people that I go to any property and I feel like there's repairs that need to be done. Especially like, you're investing in the property and you want it to be in good, clean shape and ready to go. So if there's any problems, you want to fix it on the front end. And normally the nicer A-class rentals have less deferred maintenance, less repairs. And so I can go in there and do a little short punch list and be ready to go within, you know, 7-10 within 30 days, less than 30 days. Mm-hmm. But most of my cheaper properties need a full renovation or a full gut job. The ones I'm investing in, the turnkey rentals on the lower end of the C-class rentals, there's not as many people out there that are offering turnkeys in that price range. But usually, I mean, I have a property that I've been renovating for over a year. And so I'm right there at the end. I got 5% I need to complete. I should have some guys putting in some blinds and cleaning the day. But it's one of those things that I got a great deal on the property, but I had to fix everything, mm-hmm. The flooring, the roof, air conditioning, paint, appliances, plumbing. I mean, there's really nothing that didn't need to be touched. And, you know, it's taken a lot of time and a lot of heartache, but got a great deal and it'll be a great rental property, but I can't do many of those.
Right.
I can't do 10 of those. I'd have to give up selling real estate or give up managing my portfolio. I had to give up something for me to be able to do more of those.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I think as you grow a rental portfolio, it's a good idea to own different properties for different reasons. And I think C-class rental properties are a good thing to own. I think they provide a lot of cash flow. And they kind of give you your base to operate under. And sure, you're probably going to have more turnover and you're going to have more repairs and you might have more work to do. But the cash flow that the C-class rental properties are going to provide you is much better than you're going to get from a B-class rental or an A-class rental. But I think as you grow your portfolio and you have your basics covered with your rental income from your C-class properties, I think at that point it makes sense to buy A-class properties, and you're just making money in a different way. You don't have the cash flow that you're going to have with a C-class property, but you're going to be making a lot more money on appreciation, and you're also getting more mortgage pay down. So I think that makes a lot of sense. I think it's a good idea to own different properties for different reasons. Well, as Michael mentioned, he is a full-time realtor. He works with a lot of investors. If you're interested in investing or learning more about investing in Montgomery, Alabama, I would definitely recommend reaching out to Michael. I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode414. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you're looking to buy a rental property, whether it's your first property or you want to add to your portfolio, definitely reach out to Chaley. She's a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, and right now she has a special offer just for our listeners. If you mention that you heard this ad on the Rental Income Podcast, she will credit you back $250 at closing. If you want more details or if you want to talk to Chaley personally, you can track her down at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE, lendinggroup.com, NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. Make sure you hit that follow button. I'll be back with a new interview next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.